Good evening. I want to thank you for this opportunity to be able to come to preach the Word of God to you today. If there is anything I say or do that's against the Word of God, to be a brother and sister in Christ, to come correct me, tell me, rebuke me, to make sure that I'm walking on the straight and narrow path to get to heaven, as should all our goals be. This morning's lesson is titled, From Fear to Faith. In a moment, you're probably going to understand why it's called that. And what brought this topic to my mind was, me and my wife have been listening to a couple different podcasts and read a couple different books, trying to prepare ourselves for when our kids go to school and trying to find out how best to educate them. And I came across this motivational pyramid. And on this motivational pyramid, it talks about how kids start to do good in school to start off with on this first tier because they don't want to be punished. That's their first tier. They don't want to be punished. They don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to get demerit or detention, so they do good. They move up from that tier to go to the next one to where it's no longer they just don't want to get punished, but they want the reward. They want that star on their paper, that A, or maybe approval from their parents, but they want their reward. And then we see that they will continue to go up from the next tier to where they are starting to do it because they want the teacher's approval. And then we see that they start doing good for a long period of time and building this habit and building their character to where they're now doing good because they see the accumulation of all the lessons that they've learned in school and realize that they could, if they were just to do all the stuff that they've learned, what they could accomplish for their family, what they could do for their community, what they could do for themselves. So they start doing good for their betterment of that future that they see. And then they go to that last tier. The last year, so they start doing good, and they keep doing good for so long that it's just now it's become who they are. And when I first read this, I was like, there is a direct way that this applies to our Christian life, the same way. We start off in fear more often than not. We don't want to go to hell, and that's why we do good. And then we move from that. We want to do good because we want to get to heaven. That's our aim. And then we move from that where we want to do good because we want God's approval, which also comes with going to heaven, which also comes with not going to hell. And then we'll move from that and start seeing that we move to this next tier, this fourth tier, that we start doing good and because of that we realize that everything in the Bible is true. That it's so true that if you even do something as simple as lowering your voice when somebody's yelling at you, you'll notice that they lower their voice too. You'll see that if somebody's really angry at you and yet you say something kind to them, that it'll be like literally heaping hot coals of fire on their head. This is what the Bible teaches us, and yet at this point in our life, we'll start seeing that if we start just applying all this stuff to our life, if we start cutting away all that makes us of what we could possibly accomplish if we would just embody Christ to our complete. And then eventually we get to that last year. Our main goal is to try to embody Christ to where it's no longer us that lives, but Christ that lives within us. And so while we're going over this pyramid, I want you guys to try to think about why is it that you do good? Why do you do good? I do want to point out that there's nothing wrong with you doing good because you don't want to go to hell. I do want to point out, though, that as a Christian, you should not be staying in that one tier, that you should continue to mature in your faith. Continue to grow in your faith until you're at that last tier to where it is no longer you that live, but Christ that lives within you. But to start off with this morning, the fear. Us doing good because we don't want to go to hell. And this is a good thing, and it should be an obvious thing to anybody that's been a parent and having to raise kids. You understand that the first reason why they ever do anything good is not because they want a reward. It's usually because they don't want to be spanked. They don't want to be spanked. We're told in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Commanded to fear God. Commanded to. And then we're told in Proverbs 9:10 that to fear God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is holy. And I kept wondering, why is the beginning of wisdom the fear of God? Why is the fear of God the beginning? Why is it not love? I came to the conclusion that I think the reason why we need to have this fear of hell first is because if not, we tend to be naive. We tend to end up being naive to the point to where there's even denominations and even complete religions out there that because God is love, tend to think that he is not going to punish us. And so they don't fear hell. But we are commanded to fear God. And we're told it's the beginning of wisdom. And we actually even get even a better look at this, of the reason why fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And if you turn your Bible with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and starting verse 18. It says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they were removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not." We are told to fear God. We are told that it is the beginning of wisdom, for this one simple fact is to keep us from sinning. It's supposed to be that small voice in the back of your mind that when you're about to do something that you're not supposed to do, that tells you don't do it because the consequences is going to be hell. It is a good thing for us to fear hell, fear punishment, to fear God. But it should not be where a Christian stays. That we must continue, yes, continue to fear hell. But we must go to the next tier, to where we are start doing good because we want to get to heaven. We want that reward. If you don't have a destination in mind and you're out driving about, you're just going to be wandering lost, like you're wandering lost in the wilderness without a destination in mind. We need that destination in mind, and that destination is heaven. Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. It says, "But he that believes in God must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek after him." We should know that if we seek after God, if we keep doing good, if we are faithful until the day that we die, that we are going to be rewarded for that work, rewarded for that good that we're doing. So we should be doing good for that reward. And there's more rewards than just heaven for us as Christians. We get to go to our God in prayer to ask him for forgiveness of the sins we've done. We can go to him and get our burdens lifted from us. We can go to brothers and sisters in Christ for help. There's so many different rewards that we get as Christians. But the main one I'm talking about is heaven, so that we have a direction to go. If you are driving down the road, and even if you do have a direction in mind, say your direction for us, our Christian life, is heaven. We're going down this road, and we get distracted. We see something shiny out of the corner of our eye. And so we just look over there for a moment. But then it lasts a little bit longer than a moment. You'll start notice that you start drifting in that direction. And same thing, whether it's cars, whether it's walking, no matter what it is, if you're distracted, you're going to start going in that direction. We need to make sure that our mind is on that reward, heaven. Even Peter asked Jesus in Matthew 19, he asks, "What are we going to get? What is our reward for getting rid of all these things, denying ourselves constantly?" The answer is heaven. Our reward is heaven. And so hopefully, as we continue to grow in our faith, as Christians, we'll continue to grow even past this tier, to where we start doing good because we want God's approval, which also comes with heaven, which also comes with not going to hell. Turn your Bible with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. As far as, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." If we are out there trying to please men, get our name in some newspaper for doing some good deed, get our name on some radio thing because we gave money to something else, if that is the reason we're doing good, it's not going to do you any good. You're not going to be a servant of Christ because you're trying to please men and not please God. We must continue to strive to please God more than anything else. Turn your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, and starting in verse 1, it says, take heed that you do not your arms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and that thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. We need to make sure that we're doing good deeds for God's approval, not that of man. Because the world, no matter what, is going to hate us. We must seek God's approval. I accidentally skipped a couple of verses from the other thing, but we'll go to the next point. We go to this next here, hopefully, after we continue to mature, to the point to where we start seeing that everything in the Bible is true. And so we start planting these seeds now for our future self. Whether it's the future for our actual self or the future of our family or our community or state, government, whatever it is, we start seeing that if we were to actually put all the lessons in the Bible together of what we could accomplish. And that's why we start doing good. We start doing good because we start planting seeds now so that we could have a future where that's going to take effect. Maybe that you start planting seeds now that may not actually come into effect until tomorrow or years from now. We don't know what kind of examples that we give, that we have, that what effects it's going to have on somebody else. We just don't know. We need to make sure that we're planting good seeds now for that future long-term growth. And we can see this in Galatians 6, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 and starting at verse 7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This should not be a concept that is very difficult for us to understand this, because anybody that's understood, if you want to be healthy, you have to eat correctly. And so it takes a long time. If you are unhealthy, you have to work at becoming healthy. If you want to lose weight, you have to do stuff now for that to later eventually to happen. If you want to get better at any sport, you have to practice now. It's the same thing for us Christians. You want to have that future to where you're embodying Christ, then you need to do stuff now. That we need to continue to build a habit, to build that character, to where you're more and more like Christ. We have plenty of examples of this throughout the Bible. You have the example of Joseph in the Old Testament. He is given a vision of the future. He is given a vision of him helping out Egypt, the whole known world at this time, and yet he has to continue to be good during this entire time. Continue to trust in God this entire time until that vision comes to pass. David's the same way. David's anointed king, and yet he can't put that crown on until for years and years. He has to avoid Saul not getting revenge out on him, because Saul was one of God's anointed and David did not want to slay him. He wanted to continue doing good for his better future, for the future of whatever God had in store for him. And it's something that we need to keep in mind as well, because the seeds that we plant now, whether good or bad, will come due at some point. We need to make sure that it is a good effect and not a bad one. And then eventually, hopefully, we'll mature to our final tier, the where we are trying to aim, or our ultimate goal is to become like Jesus, where we see in Galatians 2:20, back to our reading, in Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. Our goal is to be to where it is less of us and more of him. To where they see a reflection of Christ and not see you. That should be our ultimate goal. We're told in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, is that something we're actually going to be able to achieve? No, we're not going to be perfect. But it's supposed to be the ideal for which we are to aim towards. To keep going until we can get as close as possible to being the embodiment of Christ. I want you to turn your Bible with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Because I want you to think about something right here. Because Jesus is telling us that we need to follow after his example. And in John chapter 13 and starting in verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know you what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then your Lord and master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." I want you to think about that. Jesus came down, gets down on his hands and knees, and washes his disciples' feet. God, the creator of the universe, comes down, and he gets on his hands and knees, and is washing the feet of his servants. Can you imagine that? Because I can't. Somebody with so much power, so much honor that we should be given, and yet he is on his hands and knees washing his disciples' feet. I think that gives the perfect example of the goodness that we're trying to embody. The type of person that Christ was. The God that he is. And we are trying to be like him. That it's no longer Christ that lives, or no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within us. And that's our goal. You've heard the word this evening, and I pray that you believe it, and that you have repented of the sins that you've done, that you've confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you've been baptized into his blood, added to his church, and that you will stay faithful until the day that you die. And I pray that you continue to look and think about these things, about why it is that you do good, and not grow stagnant in your faith. Don't stay just in fear. Don't just stay for the reward, but for all of it. If there's anyone here that needs the prayers of the congregation or need to be baptized, please come forward as we stand and sing.